Amen.
This morning I'm here because Pastor Robert told me to cover for him, you know, so it's always a challenge for me every time that I have to preach in English, you know, because I've been doing so much Spanish lately, you know, that sometimes you hear something that you understand. It's not that I'm talking in tongue, it's just that I pronounce it wrong, okay? So I don't have that gift yet, you know, speaking in tongues. So we're going to talk about something that is a theme that has been misused, the power of God in us. And that's why you don't hear that much about the power of God, what we have in God, you know, because it's so badly used. Because when you say that, when you hear that God give you power, immediately you think of those healers, you know, that praying signs and wonders. And that's why you try to stay away from that. But the reality is that we need to know, let me get this out of the way, we need to know what the Bible says. We, as a church, are going to accomplish what the Lord wants from us because of the power of God in us. And that's the only way that we're going to do it. And that's what the way he wants to do, to spread the gospel. And let me see if I can make this work here. It's not changing, brother. No, can you change it over there? Put forward there? Yeah, all right. There is a word in Greek, dunamis, which means power. And the dictionary defines power as the ability to do things by virtue of strength, skill, resources, or authorization. The Bible says that the Christian power comes from God through the Holy Spirit. And we know that the power comes through the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul, at the beginning of the church, understand that it was a need for the new believers to understand what was that power. The apostles that walked with Jesus had firsthand the opportunity to see what Jesus did and how Jesus taught him in that time and teach about the Holy Spirit. In John, in the chapter 14, he told him, I believe in you, but I will ask the Father, I will send another just like me, the Paracleto, you know, somebody that'll be just like me. He was talking about the Holy Spirit, you know. And so for them it was easy to understand at the beginning of the church that power, because they experienced it since the beginning, the power of God. But when the years go on, the church starts to lose that understanding. And that's why in the book Ephesians, he tried to explain it in the chapter 1 and chapter 3 of Ephesians. He tried to explain that, you know. And if you move the next one, I'm going to read Ephesians 1 to 16. To the 21. If you had in your Bible, you could look at it there or you could read it there. And Paul says, Ephesians 1, 16 to 21, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, might give you, listen to this, might give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eye of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, that are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and that the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. In this verse 19 is really important, because he explained it, that God exceeded his gift to us in that power, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly places. This is another part that Paul said in a lot in his epistles, that the same spirit that lifted up Jesus is the same spirit that saved us. It's the same spirit that lives in us. And that's why for him it was important that the church understand that. For above all the principality and power and mighty and dominion and every name of his name, not only in this age, but also in which is to come. So Paul has explained it that the importance of, for us to understand that power of God in our life. And that's why before Jesus sent his disciples to preach the gospel to the world, he wanted them to go to Jerusalem and that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You could move it for the next there. And now we'll read here in Acts 1:4-8. Jesus talking here, say, and being assembled together for them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the power of the Father, which he say, you have heard from me. Like I say, he told them before about the Spirit. But you shall receive power. Then the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness of me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So here is Jesus telling them, don't leave Jerusalem until you be filled with the power of God. So that is something important, because that power will be the one who make them spread the gospel the way it was. I mean, that's what we hear. Because they wouldn't be able to do it without that power. And if we see, if we read the Great Commission, if you could put the other, this probably you know it by heart, you know. In Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus said, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, that we call it the Great Commission, the first thing that he explained was, all authority is given to me, on the earth and in the heavens. Normally, the Great Commission, people learn it from the verse 18 to the 20, but really, the 18 is really important. The reason why he sent us to preach the gospel is because he has all the authority. And that authority of Jesus will work through us, through the Holy Spirit. That's why when you preach the gospel, when you go and reach out people, it's not what you have learned, it's the power of God. In evangelism, people are afraid to share the gospel because they say, oh, I don't know much Bible, or I don't know how to talk to people, I don't know what to do, you know, I don't know what to tell them. I want this morning to get that out of your head. You won't convert anybody, and you won't convince anybody. Otherwise, we should take, a workshop of how to sell, you know, when you sell whatever, pants or something, you know, and how to convince people to buy you. But this is not that. This is more deep and powerful. We're talking about saving souls through the gospel. And the one who do all the work is God. I was noticing in one of the songs that they sing today that say, you know me before I was born and you choose me, you know. First time I see it, but I put attention to it, you know, and it has a theological basis. The one who choose you is God. The one who convinced you is God. The Spirit is the one who makes you accept the Lord because he chose you. And that's why it's a privilege that we have. The Lord talked to us and we were, you know, in the point that we were willing to surrender our life to the Lord. And you know, as a Christian, how it changed our life. But it's the power. That power that Jesus was telling today, don't leave Jerusalem until you will fill with the power of God. So when you accept the Lord, in that moment, the Bible said that you were stamped with the Holy Spirit. Your name is written in the book, you know, of the life. But that power is the one who's going to change your life. Not the denomination or the church or where you go. No, it's the power of the Holy Spirit in you. That's the one who's going to change you. When people start to serve God, obviously people around them notice the difference. Hey, since he become Christian or he become part of that church, he has changed. It's not true. The one who changes is God through the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important to understand that power. Because that power is the one who's going to make us be effective for God. Because there are so many things that happen when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our life. But that's another thing that the Christian tend to forget. That the Spirit dwells on you, in you. So it doesn't matter how you hide or what you think, nobody look at you. He is with you all the time. You can hide from God. He's there. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I think it's verse 19, they say, do you know that you are temple of this and the Spirit of God is in you? So we're a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're temple. God is in us. And that's why we can hide from that. It's there. If you understand that, then it's for you, it's easier then to be a servant of God. And that's some of the advantages that we have. Because when you talk about the gospel, about the love of God, about salvation, remember, you're gonna be speaking the word of God. And when you speak the word of God, it's power. And let me give you two verses from the Bible about this. You could put the next one here. Romans 1:16, listen what he said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greek. Remember, the Greek was called all the others, Gentiles, the word that was known in that time, the Jews and the rest of the world. And Paul is saying that he's not ashamed of that. Why? Because it's power of God for salvation. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, this says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. So the gospel, the word of God, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He was the one who used men to write the Bible. But the Bible, this Bible, or any Bible, is the word of God. So when you talk the word of God, you talk about power. 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 When I was starting to serving God as a young man in New York, Brooklyn, I was from the, you already know that, I'm from the hippie time, 68, 69. I was a hippie, rock player, I was at NYU, and but God put me one person to become friend with me, because he was a native from New York, but he was Puerto Rican, the parent. So he helped me with the English. He didn't do a good job because still I can't speak English, you know, but he helped me in that time. And he was Christian. And he made the commitment to lead me to the Lord. So it took him 3 years to convince me to go to the church. And the first time I went to the church, I accepted the Lord. But I was ready, just looking at his life. But what I want to tell you is when then I get involved and then I wanted to preach the word of God, and then there was another man called Pepin Hernandez. He was an old retired pastor. And he told me, I'm going to help you with your preaching. And the first thing he told me, listen, don't try to be slick, don't try to be smart on this, because you don't know nothing. Because this is more than just communicating. It was the first one who told me, this is power. So this is power. So remember that. When you study, when you try to prepare a sermon or something, don't think that whatever you're going to communicate will be effective because your preparation and all that. No, it is the power of God. If you speak the word of God, then you're okay. So he always go with me whatever I was preaching, and he tell me, oh, this was wrong or this, but the first thing that he put attention if I was preaching the word of God. That's the most important thing. And so I thank him because he teach me that. Because through all my life, I have about 40 years now in the ministry. Through all my life, every time, like today, I don't rely on what I can do or what I cannot do as a human. I rely that the Word of God is the one who's going to do the work. That's why in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, he says that the Word of God never returns empty. Empty. He always do something. So when I stand here or in anything, doesn't matter if it's 3 people, 40 people, or 100, or 1,000, or 3,000, or 20,000 people, God will talk to somebody. And I have to believe that. Why? Because the Word of God tell me that. And through the years, I experienced that. And that's why, I have that confidence that if I preach the Word of God, God will do something. So why I'm telling you this? To encourage you to speak the word of God. Talk to people with the word of God. Learn those verses that their need for the people to understand that we have a God that loved them, that he sent his son to die for them. Speak the word of God. And he'll do the job. You won't do it. He'll do it. That's why I've seen people coming to the Lord in the more strange circumstances. Because I've been, like I said, for a year, I've been through a lot of things. I've been in different situations. And always God, do the work. I've been in places that you think that nobody is listening to it, and there you go. Somebody come and say, what can I do to be saved? It's amazing, the Word of God. And that's what this morning, my intention is that think in that power of God. That think that when you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, that power is in you. All you have to do is believe it and work and act on that, knowing that God is with me. It doesn't matter. There's another verse that I will give you at the end. It doesn't matter if we're getting old. You know, I'm getting old. You know, I have to carry pills, you know, and tell you, I got my pills, you know. At 12 o'clock, I have to take it, you know. I'm not the same guy. Like I told the people, this belly was up here before, you know, but it fell down already, you know. So, but I'm alive. God has given me beautiful times in this life already. So it's important that we understand that if we realize and you had in your mind and your heart and all your being that God is with you, He's there, it makes the whole different of the world. And I could tell you with authority on that because I've been through a lot of stuff. They have been trying to kill me. They kidnap me. They're going to kill me. And I went through a lot of stuff in my life, preaching the gospel. And I could always work with the sense that God is with me. And nothing going to happen to me unless God allow it. And when you got to that conclusion, nobody can stop you. You just go and do what you want to do. That's why don't be afraid to talk about the Lord. Don't be afraid, especially young people. You know, in this generation that people try to mock and make fun out of us, the Christian, that we do stuff that we believe. Look, as we read here, for the one who are saved is power of God. So it doesn't matter what the people, the way the people see it. What it is important to understand that the one who choose your life to be part of His family is God. And then you're thankful for that. I'm thankful that God get me out of the life I was living. I'm so thankful for that. Because I don't know where I would be ended up with my life if it wouldn't be for these men that decide that will help me to understand the gospel. And that's why when we talk about the power of God, God can do many things. Like I say, protect you and be with you. There is, let me see, if you put the next one, I have something for that, you know. Let me tell you, because I'm not used to this, okay? I have a monitor, and the other side I got a monitor that I use it. Let me see. And that one, God will make you a good servant, you know. Let me see, I confuse all this here. What's going to happen is that when you serve God, knowing the power that is in you, because God has given you His Spirit, He's going to make you be ready to serve Him and be ready to do anything for Him, you know. Because when we are afraid to serve God, sometimes it's because we think in our, you know, weaknesses. We think, oh, I can talk, or I'm shy, or I don't know if I will be able to do this. But when you know that the power of God is with you, those things change. And then you become a better servant for God, because you are able to just do what God sent you to do. And another thing that this old man teach me in those times is to never put attention. If I'm successful in this or successful in that, you just do your job, because he is the one who knows what he's calling you. When I decided to serve the Lord full time, I was in the peak of my career, and I was working for Texas Instruments, and I talked to my wife and said, listen, I feel that God is calling me to a full-time ministry. It was a big step of faith. But I remember that in my foolishness, I say, I'm going to pray and see what God tell me. And then I was praying, and I was putting condition to God. I say, I serve you, Lord, but I don't want to be those pastors that stay for years and years with two or three people. If you call me, you're going to use me. If not, why are you going to do this? I tell you foolishness, because it's not up to you. It's what he wants to do, you know. But God gave me, in the Hispanic community, we tell it that they give you a little bit of dulce, you know, a little bit of sweet thing. God gave me in my first services as a pastor. God make it easy for me. We start with three families, and the church grow. I mean, but grow fast like you don't have idea. In three years, we were over 1,000 people. It was easy. They said, oh, well, that is not that bad. But no. He was just teaching me that when he wants to do something, he'll do it. But there were times that thing is going to be really hard. And through the years, I learned that. As a matter of fact, we live in that right now. We live in this. With the pandemic, with the, especially imagine now with the Hispanic community, people are afraid to come to even to church, you know. So we're facing all those things. So what's going to happen is not dependent on us. It depends always on God. It's thank God that I learned my lessons years ago. That when I saw there was a so easy, he said, no, no, this is something that God is going to teach me later. And he had done it, you know, and teach me that everything it has to do with the power of God. And that's why we have to be a servant of God with all the willingness to do. Know what we want the thing to happen. That is God's business. But what I'm going to do, be a faithful servant. As a matter of fact, I think 2 years ago or something, I preached a sermon here that I call it, what kind of servant I am. And I use that passage of the Bible, that the servant that worked really hard, you know, and then go back to the house, and his boss told him, okay, now give me food and all that, you know. And that servant felt bad because he did what he was supposed to do, you know. And when we do what we're supposed to do, we're faithful. But sometimes it requires more than our life. And the people that have been living for many years, like me and some others, know that that's the way of life. Young people don't think that everything will be easy. It'll be times that be easy. They say, "Whoa, man, this I'm rocking here, man. I'm hot, man. I'm in a row." Wait, you'll see something gonna happen. They're gonna teach you. No, you are not on the roll. Now you have to go on back and depend on God. That's the way it is, you know. And that's why it's important to understand the power of God. But it doesn't matter if you are high or down, God is with you. He is always with you. And he always get you ahead. And that's the beauty of the love of God in our life. That when he says, you know, in the Great Commission, I'll be with you every day to the end, that's a reality. He's with us every day. It doesn't matter what we live in. Sometimes we are on top, sometimes we don't. And that's what is important, to understand these principles, that God is in you because you were filled with the Holy Spirit. Live your life in that sense. Because when you understand that, you know that you cannot hide from God. You can hide from the panic, or you can hide from authority, or you can hide from anybody, but not from God. And that's why when you understand those things, your life really becomes joyful all the time. Because that God is with me. You confront difficult times in life, and you don't confront it and happy. That's what Paul said, that stay joyful always. Always. And how that can happen? When you understand that God is with me, even in the times of affliction or difficulties, he is with me. You know, and when you live your life for a while, like me, you know, man, you understand those situations. But it become easier when God show you the way, how you confront things. And that's why this morning I want to leave you with that in your heart. The power of God is in you. And therefore, make sure that you walk your life in that way. Don't be afraid to do anything that God sent you to do. Don't be afraid to preach the gospel, especially young people. Don't be afraid. This is power. When you speak, the word is power. I remember in one of the years that we have, we used to participate in the March for Jesus in Los Angeles, and always end at the MacArthur Park. And I remember that one time, there was probably about 10,000 people in the park. I mean, huge, huge, you know. But when we were praising the Lord, there was a huge group up there just mocking at us, you know, saying stuff. And when we were playing, they were dancing. They were doing, you know, a lot of stuff. But it's incredible. After the message, how the attitude of those people changed completely. Why? Because the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God started to change and change and change and change the attitude of the people to the point that when we did the altar call, I mean, 100 of them came in. It was exciting to see all the testimonies, how they were goofing on us, you know, and then something happened. What was? The power of God. So that's why it doesn't matter if you are a new believer or you barely try to understand about how to serve God, I want you to go this morning with this. When you come to the Lord, the Bible, not us, not the Baptists or anything, no. The Bible say that you are saved. Your name is written in the Word of Life. But the best thing is that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that's the one who's going to change your life. He's going to guide you through life. He's going to encourage you. He's going to push you to whatever you want to accomplish to get there, because he is with you like he promised in Matthew 28:20, I be with you every day to the end. So I want you to leave you with that thing, you know, that in your head that God is with me. And not only is with me, he gave me power. He gave me power. And that's what I could go and accomplish whatever is on my front. That's what Paul say, everything is possible through Christ who has trained me. It's not something that sounds really good. No, it is true. It is true. It is true. Probably when you go back and see your life and you really reflect on that, you can write a book about it, how God made it happen, you know. It's incredible what God do in our life. So I want you to take that. When you go out here today and say, man, I have the power of God on me. He can push me to accomplish whatever is ahead of me. There will be only one condition. To understand that you are a children of God. And always taking him into account. Young people, you wanna get married? Ask God. No, say yes, you know. God, is this the right person? Ask God first. Don't do like many people. I don't know why I picked that example because there's a whole bunch of young people here, you know. But sometimes we do all the plans. And then we ask God, now bless this plan. Instead of first, before we do it, ask God, what do you want for me? I want to accomplish this. And you say in the word that you're going to help me to accomplish the desire of my heart. And you know what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit will help you to lay out what is good for you. So when that happens, for sure, things will work for you. If not, read Romans chapter 8, 24 to 28. Read that, Romans 8, 24 to 28, and you'll see that you don't know what's going to happen next year or 5 years, 10 years, but God knows. So you put everything on his hand, he will guide you. And then in this chapter 8 and 28, it, for the one, you know, who loved the Lord, everything worked for good. Everything worked for good. So I want to, like I say, one more time, take that with you. The power of God is in you. And don't forget that. That's why don't be afraid. God is with you, and he'll be with you until the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your kindness, for your love to us. Thank you for your Spirit, your Holy Spirit that is living in us and help us to and guide us and direct our life. And pray, O Lord, that help us in this ministry, that we could accomplish, O Lord, what you have for us and help us to have the desire to understand that the world needs you. And we have that assignment, O Lord, to preach this gospel. Help us to do it in a big way. In Christ, I pray, Lord. Amen.